Welcome to the Coach Dave Love Podcast with NBA shooting coach Dave Love and your host, Matt Robertson. Exploring the cutting edge of evidence-based shooting development in basketball today. From shooting form to skill acquisition to shot metrics. This is the Coach Dave Love Podcast.
Welcome to the Coach Dave Love Podcast. I am your host, Matt Robertson, and with me, as always, NBA shooting coach Dave Love. Dave, what's going on?
Okay, so I'm not even answering that. Doesn't matter. I have a more pressing concern.
Okay.
My question for you is, you say the exact same thing with exactly the same intonation each show opening, and I love it. Don't change it. But is that a conscious decision, or is that just a habit that you aren't aware that you even have?
Yeah. So the first few episodes, I think there was some variability there. And I kind of found something that works. And one of the things that I'm working on as a podcast host is to slow down my cadence just a touch, because you have awesome cadence and timbre in your voice. And sometimes when I get excited, my wife says I get mumbly and hard to understand. So two pieces, one, working on this and working on myself. And secondly, shout out to the Low Post, horrified the first like five or six episodes where I wanted to say, welcome to, and not as an homage, just by accident, because that's how he intros the pod every time. So really a conscious effort to avoid that situation. So it's just like, it's a three-part answer. Thanks for asking.
It's so fun. Human nature is so funny, because I'm aware of the pattern that you have. I've never found you to be mumbly. If anything, I'm the mumbly one. And then I had a nice conversation with Tom, our super fan, so shout out to Tom, who I guarantee is listening, and had a nice conversation, and he said some nice things about, like, I forget exactly how it went, but complimented me on the thing that I don't think I do very well at all.
Love that.
Again, a couple of nice interactions today. Where Peter, also our friend, our listener in Luxembourg, was just saying that, you know, he listens religiously, and so I think this is episode 20.
State of the Union time, baby. Dave, how are we doing?
Well, I'm confused. I don't know. So, like, let's spend like 2 minutes on this, because I had a podcast that I listened to from the beginning, and we're near the beginning, and I loved it when they sort of updated on how they are doing. We're watching progressive growth with every clinic, and you and I text like on every Tuesday, probably early afternoon for you, morning for me, and I'll give you like where we kind of stand with the new release. And then that night where, like, when the sort of day Greenwich Mean Time, I think, ends, I'll let you know, like, did we break the day one record? Does it look like we're going to? And we've broken the day one record for listens on four consecutive weeks. And the fifth week, the one that we didn't break the previous record on, was because I didn't announce it to my newsletter. It's been super fun to kind of go through that and watch the growth. They say Spotify subscribers were, let me look. This is like to the moment. 210 on Spotify, but then Apple says like almost 300. So does that mean we're at 500? Well, we don't have 500 listens yet on any episode. We're approaching that. But long story short, I don't know.
It seems as though between the YouTube and the Spotify numbers, we've got about 600 people listening to every episode-ish, even if it's after the fact. And we don't really know what's included in that Spotify number, if the Apple numbers are included or whatnot. So It is, like you said last episode, not out of the realm to say hundreds, which is a funny thing, but I still prefer the dozens. The OG dozens I really love, and I'm going to address them only. So thanks for the update.
The one that always cracked me up was the dozens of dozens.
Yeah, that's great.
Like that, the dozens of dozens was super funny to me. So, but now we're into hundreds of tens. We're into tens of hundreds.
Tens of hundreds.
No, we're not.
Not quite
there. No, we're not, because that would be thousands.
So whatever that looks like, the dozens of dozens of dozens of people listening, we really appreciate you. This has been a lot of fun and kind of an interesting thing to watch. I'm such a numbers driven person when it comes to work. And so really cool to be able to watch this. So appreciate you being along for the ride. And we're having a good time, and we hope you are too, or at least that you're learning something. If you're not having fun, well, I can't do anything about that, but we hope you're at least learning something.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, they were like 6 minutes into this episode, and I think a lot of people have turned it off because they're like, where's the shooting talk? So topic for today, adding variability. I want to get into talking about adding variability because I see a lot of room for improvement in how we do. And I want to start this off by saying I'm guilty of this as well. And especially like I'm trying to be very aware of what people post on social media isn't probably exactly what they do, because now you've got to worry about, okay, I've got a camera here. And some of the things that I'm going to talk about today, you can look at my social media or some of my content online and go, well, Dave, you're not doing that. And it's simply because of the logistics of we've got a camera. The camera's here. I can't be moving around the way I normally would and adding variability that way, because the camera person is going to get whiplash and the viewer is going to get vertigo, or motion sickness. And so I want to acknowledge right from the beginning, number one, we can all get better at that, this including me. And number two, what we put out there on social media might not be the most accurate representation of what we do when the camera's not on, which hopefully is 95% of the time. Like, I hope there are people that are recording everything and posting everything online, but I'm also a grumpy old man.
If the workout gym that I go to is any indication, people are indeed recording every rep they're ever doing of everything. So just heads up for that. Appreciate where you're coming from. But I think in our current ecosystem where film is, like we talked about last time, having an HD, you know, an old HD box in your pocket is now the new thing. Sorry for the listeners. I did the over the shoulder camera thing from the, you know, from your news reporter from a decade ago. Now that you have access to that at all times, if you care about that, it is available to you at all times. So I do think that happens more than you maybe would like to think. Or,
well, and it would be a great thing if we're using that video to constructively learn. Mm. It's if all you're doing it is all you're using it for is self-promotion, then you might be doing as much or more harm than good. And it's kind of like I used to get annoyed when people, I'd have a clinic arranged in City X, and people would say, well, oh, we can't come to the clinic because Bobby is going to an exposure camp. And I always thought, like, is exposing yourself, getting exposure, your biggest need, or is your need for getting better your greatest need? And if you need to get better and you're exposing yourself, is that a good thing? Like, are you going to expose the weak, the lesser than version of you? But that's, again, another topic for another day.
The broader question is, Bobby keeps catching strays on this podcast. You have like a Bobby in your past that like has left you scarred, or is this just sort of the generic name you pick up?
Okay. It's weird. My family, we have an ongoing joke where we like to invent the name of the person that we're annoyed, the mythical person that we're annoyed with, and attach a name to that person. And it's like Karen has Karen, become that name right now, but it's too cliche and too overdone. And so we go, I'm big on like Evelyn. And they're like different people have different characteristics. Gwendolyn.
That's a great one. A
particular characteristic of person was a Gwendolyn. There's no Bobby, and I don't know why I go to it. Maybe it's because it's safe, and there aren't many Bobbies, so I know I'm not offending too many. I haven't seen a Bobby, a 12-year-old Bobby, sign up for a clinic in a number of years, so I feel like that's safe.
Just Portis, and he will run into you in the back alley, I feel. So
I can't say Caden. Caden is, there are too many Cadens and Haydens and Bradens and Jadens out there, so I can't use that one. Bobby, and Bobby's a safe one. Maybe that's why I do it.
That's the new Matt. Well, I've succeeded in adding a little variability to our podcast, so let's get back on track here, Dave. When you talk about adding variability, are you talking about in the micro sense of like, so last episode you referenced something that I wrote down furiously about adding variability in the lift to the set point, or are you talking about macro in a drill sense from a team perspective?
Macro.
Awesome.
That we are, and well, not just macro, all spectrums.
Pervasive.
Macro,
okay.
Meso, micro. It's meso? Meso's a thing, isn't it?
Sure.
I think that's the medium cycle. All of it. And so the reason for doing it is there is variability in the game. And so ultimately the skill that we're practicing is not, okay, you get one shot to kind of measure and then you're going to shoot 49 more of the same shot. And you're going to have it dialed in by the 10th one. So you look amazing in your last 40. That never occurs in a game. You've got one shot to make that one. And so we need to be adaptable because the game is variable. And so that's, I think, the ultimate skill that we should be practicing is not doing the perfect thing, but getting close to the perfect thing in variable environments. So the one thing, like what I want people to kind of start by picturing is an old phrase, and I'll do this with players all the time. I'll say to them, like, we seem to think that form shooting gets done from like the bottom of the jump circle and the key, or like the baseline and the wing, like the 45 degree angle and those five spots, that's where learning occurs. And most commonly at the bottom of the jump circle. And again, I'm guilty, or I have been guilty of it in the past. Learning doesn't occur there. Like that's not where, like, stand here because you're really going to absorb what I have to say. If you're standing there, don't move 4 feet to the left because you won't be able to like understand what I'm saying as well. That doesn't happen. Games are variable. Our learning environment should be variable as well. And I think the best example of like what not to do, I saw a clip, this was a couple of years ago on Instagram, of a trainer bragging. I'm trying not to come across as condescending. Celebrating the willingness of a young 12-year-old boy to just grind through his shooting form. And he was standing at the bottom of the jump circle doing traditional form shooting with his hand behind his back over and over and over again. And there was a moment where he missed one and his rebound took him literally 2 feet to the side. And he grabbed the rebound and he went back to the initial spot to shoot the same shot again in the exact same environment. So unfortunately, what the coach is accidentally doing by promoting this is making the player less adaptable. The player now is only learning to repeat the motion perfectly in this one very, very specific environment.
That will never be in a game specific environment also with the hand behind the back.
Right. Right. So there's no game very little game representativeness here, and there's no adaptability being learned. And so I want to go through, like, make sure we understand why we want variability, and that's the idea of adaptability. But then, like, at the very least, what could we do to promote more variability? What would be the next level beyond that, and what would be the next level beyond that?
When you look at a player in a game, oftentimes, especially with this, you know, I like to think that we were way more well-adjusted when we were 18, 19, 20 years old or whatever, but it was exactly the same. Okay, cool. But like you see, okay, so you have the drill that sets up a game situation where you're running pick and roll in between the two lanes. Kid gets into the lane, has to make a decision, away you go. Oftentimes the kid will get into the lane in a game, and all of a sudden we have no skills, I shouldn't say no skill set. We lose composure completely because it seems like a new situation every time. This idea of being adaptable really comes to the surface that we are not that in that moment. You know, we're jump passing and we're trying to make decisions that are not, it feels like a situation that you've never been in before when you watch it. I'm like, I feel like he's never done that before. Maybe we've put them in that situation because we've not provided enough variability and adaptability in their workouts and their development. It's a long way of getting there. I apologize.
Yeah, the idea, and you see a lot of smart people on social media talking about, like, are we over teaching fundamentals? And I think the answer is absolutely yes. That you don't, as Chris Oliver, I believe, said in the podcast, or I've heard him say a million times in other situations, like, you don't need to start with the fundamentals. You can start with the game. And so,
Dave,
yeah,
as the voice of the people, like, that legitimately gives me anxiety to think about teaching that way. You know what I mean? Like, I feel you say that and I start to sweat a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and like we were discussing before the podcast on, and, or before we started the podcast, and I'll share now because we want to be, transparent within this as much as we can. I've got a mentor in skill acquisition, and I was enjoying a nice couple of months where I was feeling like I'm approaching the summit. I feel like I'm the best coach, metaphorical summit, obviously on a multiple different levels, that I feel like I've become like really the kind of coach that I aspire to be. And I feel like I'm doing a lot of things really, really well. And then I asked a mentor of mine in skill acquisition about a very specific question. And it was like, I'm climbing the mountain thinking I'm almost at the summit here. And then his answer revealed the next peak beyond. And I'm sweating right now, like you are, like going, ah, crap. Shoot, there's another level to get to. And it's good. I'm enjoying the hike. I like the challenge. I never want to feel like I'm done. But okay, here we go again.
And really, new level. It does put to the test the thing that we say, or we have said, is that I hope in 10 years that 10 years Dave Love runs circles around this version. And now you're sort of having to put your money where your mouth is metaphorically, in that, like, yeah. Oh shoot, I have to continue growing because this new peak has just shown itself to me.
Yeah. I was hoping I was going to enjoy a nice 5-year run at the level that I was at now rather than 2 months where I was like, all right, good for me. And
Maslow says you've been self-actualized and I'm at the top of the pyramid and away we go.
Oh, so
okay. So Dave, in this situation that you're talking about where this player is grinding away at this form shooting, what is the bare minimum? Like, give me the bottom level of variability for this kind of drill.
Okay. So, well, not even just this kind of drill. I think this can be applied in a lot or just about everything. So when you're doing a shooting drill, at the bare minimum, change the location or the distance between as many reps as possible. Ideally, and it's not that hard, change it between every single rep. And so I'll give an example of what I used to do and what I'll do now. I used to, in a warm-up, start with very deliberate form shooting. And to a degree, I still do that. But in the past, it would have been, all right, give me five spots, five makes from each spot. And it would have just been like, make five from baseline, make five from the wing, and probably very close to the rim. Like we're talking 10 feet from the rim. And now, or let me give another situation. In that first workout, I would have put people at the bottom of the jump circle and done my explanations of things, and they might not have moved. Like, we may have spent 10 minutes at the bottom of the jump circle, and then I would have said to them, like, okay, now go over and do the same thing on the baseline and give me five more minutes there, and okay, go to the other baseline and give me five more minutes there, and then start to, like, okay, then add some variability. Now, first shots of the day in the warm-up, and within the first five shots of day one, it's as quickly as I can, okay, move to a different spot. And that's no more challenging for the player. The challenge point has not increased, but the variability had. They are now forced to adapt to a different view of the rim, which should not be harder at all. It will just be a little bit different and probably a slightly different distance, because they're probably not going in a perfect arc around the rim. They're probably, if the first shot occurred from 11 feet, this one is probably 11 feet 9 inches or 10 foot 3 inches. Even if they think it's the same, it's a little bit different, and they're going to have to adapt to that. And our role as coaches is to figure out how much adaptability or how much variability can the player have it as we kind of re-coordinate that movement pattern.
It's interesting that you talk about this, and just thinking about my experience as a player, I'm trying to stay in the moment and listen, but also my brain is wandering all over the place. I did not shoot any quarter jumpers really in my college years until my fourth or fifth year. Just that wasn't the way our offense was laid out, not really our spacing, whatever. As a professional, I almost exclusively lived in the corner. I have one skill and one skill only, baby, and you better stay out there and exercise that skill, because, well, let's be honest, I was on the bench mostly, but when I was on the floor, I lived in the corner. And adjusting to the visual piece as a 22-year-old leaving my first, you know, my first degree after 4 years, that was a really challenging thing for me. I was not adaptable. And even thinking about my game has progressed now as a 35-year-old, I'm still not great with somebody flying at me because I never trained that way. I don't have enough reps in that sort of adaptable variable, or being forced to adapt in a variable situation like that.
Well, and it's so funny, like in the corners particularly, because you've got a lot of company with people who don't feel comfortable in the corners. And when you ask them, like, all right, be honest with me, why not? Their answer is usually, I'm worried about the side of the board. And because they don't have to worry about the side of the board from any other angle. And then I'll say to them, like, when was the last time you airballed a shot offline? Because that's what's going to have to occur for you to hit the side of the board. And, but it's exactly what we're describing. They have done so much of their practice avoiding the baseline for this reason that they didn't like it to start with, because they actually were worried about hitting the side of the board. But that was 10 years ago. And now it's just like, I'm sorry, 90% of my practice has come from these safe angles where I don't have to worry about this thing. And now you're asking me to do it, and it's in my head. Well, like let's not let it get in their head from the beginning.
If I'm on the left side of the court, if I miss the shot to the point where, so let's say I was actually shooting from straight on. If I hit the left rim really heavily, if I transition to the corner and make that exact same shot, I hit the backboard, which is way more embarrassing than missing a shot at the left of the rim. You know, if I hit the side of the backboard, yep. That's for my pride and my ego. That's a really hard thing to absorb in a game. The fans will call me out or the other players, whatever, because it's happened and they do. So fear is a part of that also. Again, visually, it just adds a variable that I don't have anywhere else. But there's an emotional and mental component, I think, also, if you're not used to that, if you have any fear at all.
And we have to just take players out of that right before it even becomes a concern by just increasing the, like, don't let them get you, or don't let them be afraid of the corners, because they've shot equal amounts from all different spots on the floor. That, like, embrace every angle. That's the bare minimum that we should be doing.
So what's the next level of this look like?
So the next thing would be, okay, within every shot, in a shooting workout, try to have the different location, which will probably give you a slightly different distance, but with a different movement preceding it. Hmm. And so we talked about, like, in the don't do spot shooting, like, okay, if you're forced to do spots for whatever reason, maybe you've got, well, I mean, there's never a reason where you're forced to, but you refuse to break this habit, but you're willing to give some, at least move to the corner in a different way each time. And so I, along those same lines, you want to add a little bit more variability. Okay, different spot on the floor. And that, like, this shot, you're forward pivoting on your inside foot, going left. So on your right foot. And then this shot, I want you to reverse pivot going right. And then on this shot, I want it, like, so we're still accountable to the habit that we're working on, but the environment in which we're working on it is slightly different, and your body is forced to adapt.
I've spent a little bit of time watching the Dallas Mavericks over the last few months, just, you know, following them because of you, and watching Kyrie Irving's footwork and his game. He is somebody who has one of the most adaptable games. You know, the footwork is super variable. He's got 7 different pivots that he can use, the way he comes around curls or comes off flare screens or whatever. I'm very curious. Again, I know that's another conversation for another day, but his development in getting comfortable in all those different ways, this is what you're talking about, is adding the variability so that when that situation occurs, you're ready and set for it. You've practiced the 7 different ways this could go coming off this screen, or, you know, whatever the number is. So you're not panicking in the moment or doing something you've never done before. Right.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah. Along the ish. Yeah. Very close ish too. I always go back to the analogy of, like, okay, let's imagine you're a carpenter and you have a hammer and a saw. How good of a, if those are the only 2 tools that you have, how good of a carpenter are you really going to be?
Yeah.
Well, you can probably get some jobs done pretty well, but you're going to be limited. And so we want to explore not just how to use the hammer and saw perfectly, but how to adapt them. Then how to use a chisel, how do you, oh, now I'm going to really show how.
Give me another tool, Dave. What are you using?
Screwdriver. and I think I'm out.
Dave, let's take a real quick break while you take inventory of your tool shed, and we'll talk about the next levels of this when we come back.
Hey there, basketball fans. Coach Dave Love here with an exciting opportunity to revolutionize your shooting game. Introducing my exclusive shot development systems, Pure Release, consistency and balance, and fluidity and arc. Each system is designed to target key aspects of your shooting technique, transforming you into a more effective player on the court. Peer Release focuses on perfecting your shot release. Consistency and balance enhances your stability and accuracy, and fluidity and arc works on your ball path and trajectory of your shot. Find out the drills and progressions that I use with my NBA players to improve these important habits. Can't decide which one to choose? No worries, grab the bundle and get all three systems at a fantastic value. It's a complete package to elevate every part of your shooting game. And there's a special deal for all my podcast listeners. Use the promo code PODCAST20 at checkout to save 20% on any of the shot development systems. Don't miss this chance to train like the pros. Visit CoachDaveLove.com/store and take your first step towards shooting success. That's CoachDaveLove.com/store.
All right, welcome back. Dave, got any more tools? No, I'm just kidding. Before we line up into the next levels, Dave, we're coming out of the timeout. Going to put 24 up on the thought clock. I know we covered a lot. That was a long time without a commercial break. Give me a concise synopsis of what we just discussed.
Learning doesn't occur on one magical spot on the floor. Learning occurs all over the floor. So at the very least, incorporate the kind of variability where players are shooting from different spots in as many reps as they possibly can. And then the next level will be from different spots on the floor, but with a different kind of movement preceding that that shot. I think those are the two. I was reasonably concise there. I mean, I was thinking this isn't your best ATO.
That's one of the ones where you're driving to the lane, the ball goes out off your leg, the ref goes, no, we're going the other direction. Turnover.
Yeah, and I would just, I mean, that was fine. But I guess we're not always perfect.
We're working on our game. That's part of why we're out here. Dave, I do notice in the show notes that I missed something. And so don't worry, we are going to come back. We are going to come back to the misconception, the reality.
Okay.
I want to talk about the next level of this. So we talked about moving locations at bare minimum. We talked about moving locations with different footwork or different movement patterns proceeding. What's the next level of adding to this? Really an optimal kind of optimal training situation.
Different locations with different movements based on a defender. Mm. And as soon as you have a defender, you're forced to make decisions and you're forced to react. In the other two situations where I gave you, players still have the opportunity to pre-plan, which probably still happens in games, but probably shouldn't be happening in a game. Like we can probably all remember being in the ninth grade and playing basketball and like you're pre-planning your dribble move. And then it doesn't work and he can't figure out why, because you gave the defender all that time to get set up as you're thinking, all right, I'm going to dribble between. And so we've got to learn to just react based on what we see from defenders. And so incorporating a defender to force you to make decisions will be the next and the ultimate level.
Is that a live defender or is that a challenge point adjusted defender based on what we're trying to accomplish?
Look at Maddie Ice. What's the answer? What's the answer?
I think that we're adjusting the challenge point based on what we're trying to accomplish and the drill that we're in with the player that we're in it with.
Perfect. And then what word would you use to say, like, how are you going to limit that defender?
Ooh, I'm going to add a constraint to the drill, to the defender specifically. So that we give the player an appropriate level of comfort or discomfort based on where we are. Are you proud dad right now?
I am very proud of you right now. Can you give me an example of a constraint that you would use or add to that defender in order
Sure. Much like most of my coaching toolbox in my very short tenure as a teacher, in the beg, borrow, steal model, I'm going to steal something. And I believe you said this. Making the defender start behind the player or beside the player to give the player a slight advantage in the situation.
Sure. Great one. Give me another.
Okay. So if we have a couple of people to work with, which as we've discussed, we don't always have, but giving a light constraint in that there is a choice that needs to be made. So whether that's we're coming off a screen kind of footwork and the defender has two options, whether that's to chase or to go under, that's a constraint.
If you're giving the defender the choice, yeah, that would, the defender is only allowed to do this or that.
Yeah.
And then like one that I'll, very common one that I'll use all the time, defender has to have their hands behind your back.
Mm.
You play live defense all you want, but hands have to stay behind your back. You're not allowed to reach. You're not allowed to try and block a shot. And it, I still get play. My favorite was Devin Marble and who's the other guy with the Orlando Magic. I was doing this in a workout and Devin almost blocked a shot with his forehead. With his hand behind his, he aggressively went after one to try and just see, can I get my head in the way of this one? And yeah, good times.
I love that. And at that point, for him, the challenge point is too low. And so you say, okay, you can't jump now and you need to defend the shot, right? Although it's not about the defender in this situation. It's about the offensive player. However, I really like that.
Well, very smart thing because, and this was one that Chris Oliver said on a previous podcast. If you haven't listened to his, that's required listening. And it's something I think I knew, or I think I was aware of, but I didn't know, where he said, if you're working on offense, constrain the defense. If you're working on defense, constrain the offense. I was like, I think I do that, but that's a very nice little rule to put on it to help guide Peel. And that's why I think that episode is so great. It's like, if you don't know where to start with these ideas, we want to give you a place to start.
It is the best bang for your buck pod we've done in terms of the amount of knowledge. Cause often we pick one topic and we stick to it and we vary from it. Again, the magic and the tangent situation, but we're focused on that one thing. I've listened to that podcast a couple of times just to hear you guys discuss the things. And again, I have a pretty good grasp on a lot of it now, but the first couple times I had to stop at points and be like, okay, sorry, what was that again? Which obviously can't do when we're live, but just the amount of stuff we discuss in that, I think again, when we have them back on, we can really tighten that up and drill down on a few things.
Yeah. And I want you to know, I have a lot of those moments too. And I had a couple of them with Chris, like I think this was before we started recording the podcast where he stopped me in my tracks when he said, you know, we're all aware of whole part only if I need to. And I'm like, I'm not, what are you talking about? And then he described it and I'm like, okay. And that's like, we recorded that about 10 days ago or so, I think, and maybe a week ago. And however long it's been, I've been thinking about it since he said that. And so that's like, we're all works in progress, as my mentor once said.
You're asking the wrong guy the wrong question. I almost have a 4-month-old and time is a flat circle. So Dave, let's take one more break here. No, we're going to take probably one more after this. Let's take a break and then we'll talk about challenge point when we come back.
Hey there, basketball fans. I'm NBA shooting coach Dave Love and I've got exciting news just for you. Introducing my exclusive free basketball shooting newsletter. It's packed with insights and techniques straight from the hardwood. Have you ever wondered how NBA players improve their shots? Or how you could get to the next level, whether you're a college player, a coach, or a budding youth player? My newsletter brings all this and more directly to your inbox. Each edition is a deep dive into the world of basketball shooting. I'll share some of the tips and ideas that I use with my NBA clients, tailored for every level of the game. But wait, there's more. Subscribers receive exclusive monthly discounts on my online products. From training videos to personalized coaching sessions, you'll get it all for a fraction of the price. And the best part of all, it's absolutely free to join. So what are you waiting for? Elevate your game and join a community of passionate players and coaches from around the globe. Signing up is easy. Just visit CoachDaveLove.com.
Welcome back. Dave, 24 up on the thought clock. This is an after timeout. What did we just discuss in the last little segment?
The probably most game representative way that you can add variability to a drill is just add a defender to the drill. And that doesn't mean that it has to be live defense, but as soon as there's a defender, you are probably not able or allowed to do the same thing, over and over and over again as a shooter. And so that will be the best way, the most challenging, but the best way to add variability to a drill.
I love it. Crushed it. Great job. We got an open look. When we're talking about challenge point, Dave, what are your sort of parameters? Like, how are you approaching this, finding the right challenge point for the right situation, the right drill, the right player kind of thing?
I'll go back to something I hope I've said many, many times, and I hope people that have listened to the podcast are hearing these little mantras. That I want to identify the purpose for this. Like, what is the thing I'm trying to guide the player towards learning and discovering and exploring? That could be like a movement in their motor pattern. That could be a read. But what do I want them to discover? Then how easy does the drill need to be so that they have a chance to discover that often? And then how hard can the drill be while discovering that thing often, so that the drill that we're doing resembles a game as much as it possibly can? And those last couple of words are, I think, the most important part: as much as it possibly can. In early stages, that might not be very game representative. That's fine. But hopefully it's more challenging than standing at the bottom of the jump circle, repeating the quote unquote perfect motion with no action or perception, or I guess no perception that you're basing the action off of.
You said to me one time before that just to not have low levels of variability for no reason. You know what I mean? If there's going to be low levels of variability, a low challenge point, there should be a purpose behind why you're doing it that way.
Yeah, I think there's a cross section between variability and accountability. That if the variability needs to be low, it's because the accountability should be high. And for you to have low levels of variability and low levels of accountability is a waste of time, waste of pooping time, in my opinion. And no, that's a waste of coitus time.
Stick with pooping for the kids. Great.
And so like, and then on the flip side, to have like high variability where we can't get accountable is also a waste of coitus time. And people are going to be listening. What the hell is he talking about?
First time listener, ongoing... last time listener. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, we think it's funny. So that's it.
I'll start with Phil Beckner. It's all Phil Beckner's fault is the answer, right? That crap.
Yeah. So yeah, it's finding that sweet spot where we can get the a reasonable level of accountability to whatever you say you're working on in as game representative a situation as we possibly can get it.
So you want me to spin around three times and do two behind the back dribbles before I get into a skill, before I execute that skill. That's what you're saying.
Look at you with leading me into the next thing. Make it game representative. And so that we see all of these. The most commonly I've seen them with Kevin Durant, where he'll do like the pirouette. I think it started with Dirk and his shooting coach, these ideas of like the balance drills of basically pirouette, like spinning on one foot in a circle. It adds low levels of variability. But that movement is not really a movement that we ever do in a basketball game. The other example that I see is like people that say they're doing a hand placement drill with the ball going around the, like wrapping the ball around their back. Okay. Yeah, we do that once every 25 games. I understand what you think you're doing, but again, it's not game represent. We're not really ever making that motion in a game. Can you take the idea of what you were trying to do? I was trying to make getting my hand placement as close to optimal as I could, but put that in a more game representative situation. How would you do that? Well, when is that hard? It's hard when you're thrown a bad pass. Mm-hmm. All right. Throw a person a bad pass instead. And so don't do like, it looks great on Instagram. It's creative, but it's creative for the sake of creativity as opposed to purposeful creativity.
The first time I ever heard of this kind of thing, Robert Horry used to get his teammates to throw bad passes at him in practice because the ball was always finding its way to him at the end of shot clocks and the end of games because he was the third or fourth or fifth option in some situations. Always thought that was a cool thing. Kind of integrated that into my own, you know, if somebody that you're working out with hits five or six in a row, you start throwing them slightly worse passes. Didn't realize that that's what we're doing is adding variability, and brilliant for him to realize that, that like, this is something I'm going to see in a game. It's very game representative. You know, I don't know who the point guards were that you played with. Like sometimes I didn't get a lot of great passes. You know what I mean? Mostly because they didn't want to pass to me in the first place, but that's a whole other, it's a whole other thing.
Right. And so the, oh shoot, there was a point that I want to make, in listening to you talk to the
Robert,
I think
Lurie.
It might be
bad passes.
I'm not going to search for it for too long.
It'll come back.
We're at 44 minutes plus commercials.
Okay. So you've addressed kind of being accountable to habits in a low variable environment. Why don't we take a real quick break? And I want to go back to the micro. I want to go back to the micro variability in kind of your more applicable situation. Is that cool?
Yep.
Awesome.
Hey, basketball fans. Coach Dave Love here with an exclusive offer just for you. My personalized video shot analysis. Imagine having an NBA shooting coach analyze your shooting form just like I do for the pros. That's exactly what you'll get with my video shot analysis. Here's how it works. You send me a video of your shot and I'll break it down frame by frame. I'll pinpoint your strengths and identify the areas of improvement and give you tailored advice to take your shot to the next level. You'll receive a comprehensive analysis designed just for you. Whether you're a beginner or an aspiring pro, my feedback will help you shoot with confidence and precision. It isn't just feedback, it's a game changer. With my video shot analysis, you're not just practicing, you're evolving, and every single shot counts. Ready to transform your game? Visit coachdavelove.com/store to learn more and get started. That's coachdavelove.com/store and look for video shot analysis.
Coach Dave, welcome back. Fire up 24 in the thought clock. Drip a play in the timeout. Give me concisely the last segment.
Make your variability as game representative as you possibly can. Identify the ways in which variability is forced in a game and recreate that. Oh, and the one thing that I wanted to say that I forgot is, and I might have just forgotten it again. I hate that. That's the worst. Forgetting is the worst. But then forgetting the second time is,
You went freelance. I drove a play. You went freelance, came off the screen wrong. Didn't work out. If it comes back again and you forget it a third time, I think we just cut the pod.
I think I need to be, that's the version of Dave. Thanks for your efforts. Here's a seat on the bench. Welcome to the Matt Robertson podcast.
Nobody wants to listen to me. Okay, Dave. So in your situation, you're often teaching these micro skills. You're looking at set point. You're looking at lifting the ball in a specific way. Can we talk about variability within your circumstance and kind of misconceptions versus realities of what you've got going on?
There's one of the things I'm working on with a fellow by the name of fella. There, I used it again. with Fabian Ott, who's a goalkeeper coach and has done a lot of research on a periodization of skill training. And we're working to apply that into basketball shooting, which I'm very excited about. But one of his things is we've got different versions of form shooting. And so version number one is what we're kind of used to seeing from people, which is like movement coordination training. We're trying to learn to do the quote unquote perfect or closer to the perfect thing. And then phase two of that would be the adaptability training of you're not going to be able to do the perfect thing in a game. So can you learn to get from out of position to into position or close to in position? And I don't see a lot of people doing this. So I'll just create little tiny problems for players where, okay, you're out of position in this way. Solve the problem as quickly as you can into a shot. And that will be all of my like pushing drills and leaning drills and wrestling drills. And I don't have a clean name for some of like the hand placement stuff that I'll do. But my, in my opinion, the more game representative things of like the wrap drill, where it's just, you've got a little problem and now solve it. Is that the kind of what you meant by the question? Did I even answer the question?
No, absolutely. So it's funny. Normally we don't do much of a pre-show meeting, and today we had a long conversation, but talking about the sandbox and how you see it and how we are trying to teach people the optimal shot when really we need to teach people to adapt around the kind of optimal position was kind of what I was hoping that you would touch on.
Yeah. And I think one of these days, let's do a sandbox episode. Like, so here, let's use this as an opportunity to talk about what we're going to do on Friday, where we're having a lot of fun. This is sort of part and parcel with the State of the Union. Matt and I are having a lot of fun doing this. And we see what we're trying to accomplish with this podcast is at least on the road to being accomplished. And since we're having fun and it seems to be valuable to people, we're going to start to do it a little bit more, and we're going to start to offer little mini podcasts. So the macro podcast, the Coach Dave Love podcast is coming out on Tuesdays. The mini podcast, I think, will come out on Friday, and we're going to do, well, here, you explain what we're kind of thinking for the format of the mini pod.
Yeah. So part of what we struggle with here, as you know, is being concise, both in a micro sense of my sentencing and speaking patterns, and also in a macro sense where we're saying we're going 40 minutes and it's never 40 minutes. So we are going to put 12 minutes up on the clock. We're in an NBA quarter, and just that's the hard stop. When the buzzer goes, there's no overtime. There's no, you know, there's no jump balls. We're just rolling for 12 minutes. We're going to pick a micro topic and go from there. And we're looking for a clever gimmick because we already have a shtick. Now we need a gimmick for how to title that. But that's kind of what we're looking at for the mini pods.
Yeah.
So puppy's back.
Yeah. Well, that was somebody just getting home. One of the kids just getting home and puppy coming to see what's going on. So.
Okay, so before Charlie loses her mind again, let's wrap this up. Coach Dave, you're awesome. Thanks for your time. Where can the people find you?
Go on coachdavelove.com and sign up for my free shooting newsletter and get a whole bunch of free information. And then find me on social media at Coach Dave Love.
You can find me on Twitter at Coach Matty Robb. Again, I will just be tweeting out Dave Love things. But follow me there if you like. Reach out. Please let us know if you learned anything today, if you have a great story, a situation that you got yourself into based on stuff we're talking about. Please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. It really helps a lot. Tell your friends. We appreciate all of you, and we hope you have a great week.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Coach Dave Love Podcast. To stay up to date with our future episodes, please remember to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to sign up for Coach Love's free shooting newsletter on CoachDaveLove.com and be sure to follow him on social media. You can find him at Coach Dave Love.